glasses.
That's so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
And Nass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
A 1-1 to Kemp. Should end it. Bogarts gathers it in. Red Sox up 2-0. 4-2 win in game two. And David Price has won back-to-back starts. Game 5 of the ALCS, game 2 of the World Series.
We discuss here at our TD Garden Studios. Felger and Mazz on location at the Garden. Bruins take on the Flyers tonight. That's on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Celtics also are in OKC tonight. That's going to be on WROR, our sister station. They will rejoin here on 98.5 The Sports Hub when the Bruins are over. So you'll get the Celtics on this frequency later on tonight. They'll start on 105.7 WROR, and then they flip on over here. And that's your lineup tonight on The Sports Hub. We're taking your reaction here to the Red Sox in the World Series. As promised, we'll get right to it. Jay in New Hampshire, what do you got first on the Sox?
Hi, guys. Question, and then bring a little negativity to all this positivity. Just like with Kimbrel tipping his pitches, did somebody find something with Joe Kelly that now is making him like unbelievable? And my negativity is the only thing I see is I don't want to see Mitch Moreland for the rest of this series. Give it to Steve Pearce. Mitch Moreland, he looked helpless in his couple of at-bats.
Okay. I think you'd be disappointed when they throw the righty in game 3. I think Moreland's going to be out there for Steve Pearce.
So do I.
Okay.
I don't mind seeing Moreland late in the game for defense either. That doesn't bother me.
Okay. Joe Kelly, it's not tipping because he's suddenly in the zone. It's like, I don't know. It's not about guys laying off or swinging. It's about his control. That starts with him and ends with him.
Absolutely. Now, look, you know, again, could they have found some subtle mechanical glitch that helps him harness pitches better? Yeah, but let me tell you, look, he'll lapse right back into what he was before. Okay, I think my guess with Kelly is the bigger thing is rest. If you tell me that in September they thought he was getting worn down and that he got into, you know, he got a little sloppy because he was fatigued, and that I will buy. And, you know, again, I give them credit because the way their bullpen's operating now, how they handled them in September, they were onto something.
We've got Anthony in Medford. Hi, Anthony.
What's up, Mike? I'm dying to see Holt finally in this series. Maybe we'll see him because I'm sick of Kinsler. I know he had an RBI yesterday. But in game 5, I think Seale's going to come. As long as he can pitch, I know he ain't going to throw 99, you know, anymore. But that slide with that from that arm angle, and you know how much of a competitor he is. I think the weather out there will help him. I think he's going to come up big in game 5, Mike.
Okay, let's see. Let's see on that. With big question mark is still Chris Sale, but I think they've proven they don't need him. They can win without Chris Sale. His first thing about, what was his first point?
Holt
you'll see against the righty.
I would think. You know, the one thing I wonder, though, is whether we get Holt and Moreland both. And the only reason I say that is because it seems to me like Cora likes this idea of having a lefty and a righty off the bench late in the game.
Yeah.
And so if you start Holt and you start Moreland, now who's your lefty off the bench? Swihart? Like as a switch hitter,
right.
I don't think you have one. So given the way the Dodgers like to do it, my guess he's going to hold one of those guys out.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I'm guessing, but right. that would be my instinct.
Gannon in Brookline. Is this thing over, Gannon?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's over in 4. We don't need Sale. Price, I got no words. He made me eat my socks. And Kimbrel, back in September, I thought he needed surgery.
That's it. Everything is turning around. Everything's coming up. Red Sox, it's over, Murray. It was over 2 weeks ago, right?
It was over after game 4 in the ALCS, and that's why I was so confident about David Price in game 5. No, it's a gentleman's sweep. I don't think you're going to get 4 games. Tomorrow night, like in terms of the pitching matchup, I'm ultimately with you, Maz. Like this Bueller kid is nasty. So the Dodgers will likely win game 3, and then 4 or 5, and it's over.
Okay, so the gentleman's sweep, in case you're just joining us, is
5 games.
A sweep, but you give the opponent 1 just to be gentlemanly.
Yeah,
to be kind.
Polite.
Yeah, we don't want to sweep you. That's too crass.
It's good for the networks, too.
Yeah, just we'll be a gentleman about you and give you a game.
No, it's downright discourteous to sweep. Yeah, I just assume they'd be discourteous, but I told you, I still think there's a good chance that this comes back here.
Okay, Steve in the car. What do you think, Steve?
Hey, do you think Cora's going to pull a Council and throw just one pitch, one batter, and then bring in the lefty Rodriguez?
Just the opposite. You're onto it, but just the opposite. That's what Council did, and we've really figured it out now. Well, what was going on there is that Roberts is he's just so left-right dependent that what he has done in the first two games of this series, it's impossible to believe, but he's done it. His four leading home run hitters, 1, 2, 3, 4, ranked on the team in home runs, have been on the bench to start this game, to start games 1 and 2.
Like, it almost feels like there should be an investigation.
Seriously.
Like, that's it his just top, doesn't make any sense.
His top four home run hitters have been on the bench to start the game because they're left-handed batters, and you've thrown a lefty in each of the first two games, so he's gone with righties. In a couple cases of righties who can't hit, and I'm talking about Kiki Hernandez and Brian DJ Dozier, he's put those two schlubs in the lineup instead of Max Muncy, who had 35 home runs and had an OPS of 973. It's not like this is Rob Deer or someone we're talking about. Max Muncy did hit 263. It's not like he's Pete Incaviglia. His OPS was 973.
Right, and I think he hit right around 260 against left-handed pitching. So there wasn't any huge difference there in Muncy's splits.
To get Kiki Hernandez and Brian Dozier in the lineup, they've benched Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger, one of the good young players in the game, just to get the left-right split. So the caller has it wrong. What you do is you start the lefty to make sure that Roberts benches Muncy and Bellinger, and then you swap them out for a righty. And that's what Council did in the AL and the NLDS.
So think of what the Red Sox equivalent of this would be. If they sat their right-handed power hitters against a righty starter, okay, independent of the splits, they would sit J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Xander Bogaerts.
No, well, you can't have right on right.
And then wonder why they lost. Like, I get that. So you've got to be kidding. Roberts has taken this to such an absurd level, it's not even funny.
Scott in New Hampshire says we've been wrong about everything. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, just starting with Alex Cora, you guys bashed that pick, and then you bashed J.D. Martinez. You wanted Carlos Stanton, or whatever his damn name is, Stanton, instead. And then at the trade deadline, we picked up Evaldi, Pierce, and Ian Kinsler. And I look how much valuable that Evaldi has been rather than just a simple friggin' bullpen guy. He's actually won game against the Yankees. He's dominated in the pen. And now you're questioning how much starters are worth. Are you guys crazy? I mean, not only are they winning games starting, they're winning games in the pen, too. I think Cora has done a masterful job. Instead of bashing the other team, maybe you should give the Red Sox credit. That's it. Bye. Okay. See you later. Peace.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're doing both. And you can't, don't hold Pierce against us. Maz loved Pierce.
I loved Pierce, and by the way, don't include Kinsler either, because he sucks.
And don't include the manager. None of us were down on Cora.
Oh, yeah, I was. But,
okay.
I mean, no, when they first hired him, narrowly, I'm against the first-year manager in Boston. Yeah. I was against him and Boone. And
Boone, you were right on.
I hated Boone worse than Cora because he didn't even, you know, manage Little League. Never mind. Cora did have some bench experience. No, but I did not like the inexperienced manager in this spot. It wasn't against Cora. It was just, I don't think a rookie manager should be in Boston. And, boy, that was wrong. So, yeah, we've been wrong about most of that stuff. But don't be so sensitive. The whole thing about the diminishing starting pitching is the game. It's not the Red Sox. I mean, there's teams upon teams upon teams. It's a huge trend. I mean, you're getting your starters out earlier, and bullpens have never been worked more, and it's become more of a matchup game than a starting pitcher taking the ball game, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, again, it's going to get worse. That's the part I think that people are losing. It's going to get worse. It started to get really bad in this postseason. It has gotten really bad, not started. You're going to see more of it in the regular season after what the Tampa Bay Rays did last year. You're going to see a lot of it now.
Tony in Providence. Hi, Tony.
Hey, I ain't heard nobody say nothing about how Gene Levangi, what he's done with Evaldi, Price, and Kelly. I mean, that as much praise as Cora gets, Levangi deserves as much as anyone else. I mean, who?
Okay, you can catch Gene mornings on Fox 25 with the lovely Sarah Underwood, starting at around 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning. Gene Levangi, Sarah Underwood on Fox 25. Thank you for that.
Love Gene. Yeah.
Now I've forgotten Levangi's real name.
Dana.
Dana Levangi. Dana Levangi. He has to be here somewhere. We're talking about Joe Kelly all of a sudden looks like Pedro. Kimbrel straightened himself out. Price has changed his approach, technically speaking, in terms of pitch selection. I mean, the pitching coach has to be somewhere in there. Absolutely, positively give Levangi some credit in there.
I mean, I think you would absolutely include him. And again, I think a lot of it is psychology, too, with pitchers. You get them to believe that something will work. Then they feel it works, and you get them to buy in. Now, look, I've told you this. I feel like I have to say this as a disclaimer every time. Dana's been with the organization forever. Okay, he started as a minor league player, then a bullpen catcher, then they made him a bullpen coach. He's like grown up through the organization, and I like him a lot. I like him as a guy. So I am happy that he is pulling it off, but I'm the wrong guy to ask about Lavangie because you're going to get a biased opinion. Okay, so now, do I think he's capable? Yes. At the same time, he's never been a pitching coach. They asked him to do a job this year that he had never done before, but he's a real, you know, a smart guy, student of the game, who picks stuff up.
Well, they've certainly picked something up with these guys because there's no question about it. We continue with your thoughts, and I want to get to, again, what I think is, to me, the most interesting angle left in this series. The most interesting angle left in this series about how this game is played and the lineups are written out. We'll get to that right after these words.
Gene Lavangie.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
The Dodgers became the first team in history to not start any of their top four home run hitters in a World Series game, and they did that in games one and two. They will face a right-handed starter, likely Rick Porcello, in game three, which means the first start of the series for Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy. Walker Buehler will also start for the Dodgers, and he'll give the Red Sox a look they haven't seen yet, that is upper 90s up in the strike zone, and that might be the Dodgers' best chance against the relentless Boston offense.
We're going to shuffle it up for game three, but it's not because of necessarily performance. It's kind of who the starting pitcher for those guys is. These are the guys that got us here. We're going to ride them out.
So we've talked a lot about this today, but I just find it stunning. I find it fascinating. And I wonder if it's going to change. And what we're talking about, what you heard there from Tim Kurkjian on ESPN. Look at this. The Dodgers in the first two games of the World Series, they didn't just do this once, they did it twice. As you heard Kurkjian say, became the first team in baseball history to begin a World Series with their top four home run hitters on the bench. Their top four home run hitters have been on the bench to start both games, one and two. Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, and Yasmani Grandal. And Grandal, I'll tell you again, is the catcher who basically played himself out of a job in the NLCS. He was a mental, he basically had a meltdown, both behind the plate and hitting. And he's a switch hitter, so that's a little bit of a gray area. Grandal, I'll give you. But he's on the list. He's their fourth leading home run hitter with 24 home runs over the course of the year. Their top four home run hitters have been on the bench to start the game because the Sox are throwing lefties. Muncy, Bellinger, Peterson hit strictly from the left side. And so even though Max Muncy had an OPS of 973 against everybody.
Right, and an OPS in the mid to high eights against just lefties.
Against just lefties, Muncy had the fourth highest OPS in all of baseball behind Yelich, Freddie Freeman, and Robinson Cano. So he's an elite hitter overall based on his OPS. He hits lefties as well as anyone, according to his OPS. And because Roberts has been so dependent on left-right, he has benched those players in each of the first four games in favor of a guy like Kiki Hernandez, who began the World Series with three hits and 10 strikeouts in 26 at-bats. What's 3 out of 26? What's that batting average?
It's like 120.
Okay. Kid's got a 120 batting average. He gets to start in each of the first two games. And Max Muncy, with the 35 bombs and 973 OPS, sits on the bench. And Brian Dozier, who hit 182 from August through the end of the season, hit 182, has been their leadoff guy. While Cody Bellinger, who is not particularly good against lefties, but is still one of the best young players in the game, and their second leading home run hitter with 25 has been on the bench, in addition to Jock Peterson on the bench.
I mean, you know, before the first game of this series, when they came up here, I think I said to you at one point, like, you know, you've seen the Dodgers in the NLCS, but now they're in the American League. Muncy'll DH, right? And you said, no, Kemp.
I said Kemp, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, because of the lefty.
Yeah, and I thought, why are they not hitting Muncy? Like, Muncy hits lefties. Why isn't he in the lineup? And I wish I had pounded this further to really sort of delve into the Dodgers and how they do things. Muncy and Bellinger should be in the lineup every day. Those two guys should play as a starter every single game.
And you just heard Roberts again say there that it's not dependent. Jimmy, would you mind just playing the Roberts cut again? about changing up the lineup?
Not based on performance, he said.
It's not based on performance. Go ahead.
We're going to shuffle it up for game three, but it's not because of necessarily performance. It's kind of who the starting pitcher for those guys is. These are the guys that got us here. We're going to ride them out.
So whoever the starter is, that's who he's going to – never mind that Kiki Hernandez was hitting 120 in the postseason going into the World Series and is now 0 for 6 with three strikeouts in the World Series, or that Brian Dozier's 0 for 4. He would stick with those guys if the Red Sox threw a lefty, while having Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger on the bench. That, to me, is so ass-backwards, it now fascinates me. And now
it's borderline criminal.
It totally fits what the Brewers were doing when they did that bait and switch with Wade Miley, their lefty, who they announced as a starter. They even had Wade Miley do the press conference the day before, as if he did the starter's press conference. And he played along. He didn't tip away anything. So they announced Wade Miley as a starter. He faces one batter. But why? Why did they announce Wade Miley as a starter? Because Dave Roberts just said, doesn't matter about performance. It depends on who they throw. So the Brewers say they're throwing a lefty, and he puts all these crap bun righties in the lineup and puts Max Muncy and those guys on the bench.
See, and when you asked me about that at the time, you said, is that sort of underhanded? I said, no, it's the playoffs. And you know what? Now that I know it to the depth that we do with the Dodgers, I think it's really a reflection on the Dodgers more than anything. How stupid can you be?
Okay, so now we go out to Los Angeles. The Reds are throwing Rick Porcello in Game 3, so no problem. Roberts can play all of his lefties. Muncy, Bellinger, Peterson, Grandal maybe even will be in the lineup. Okay, and Kiki and DJ Dozier will be on the bench. So that's their stronger lineup. The question to me is, what happens in Game 4? The Red Sox have not declared Game 4. Cora says if we have a chance to close out Game 3, we're going to use Eovaldi again. So Eovaldi may get his third straight appearance in the bullpen. That would knock him out probably to start Game 4. But is it better for them to start Eddie Rodriguez anyway? Because it doesn't matter what kind of crap-ass lefty you throw in there. If you throw some lefty to start, he's going to bench all of his good bats, Roberts is. So, what's going
to
happen
with
that?
So, look, I told you, I like going with your best guys. So, to me, Rodriguez is not one of those. And this is what I mean by when I say manage to your strength versus the other team's weakness. But if Numbnuts over there on the other side is going to sit there and take his best players off the field every time you throw a lefty, then you sort of have to look at it and say, I don't know, maybe that'll actually work.
Thank you.
Like, I, now again, I'll tell you the other
thing.
This
is why I'm pushing Sale back in. I mean, again, I don't want him to hurt himself, but short of that, even if he's 60, 70%, throw the lefty. I'll take my chance against Chris Sale versus DJ Dozier and Kiki Hernandez.
Yeah, no question about it. And the other thing is I hate the answer as a practice of this is how we've done it all year, this is how we got here, this is how we're going to continue to do it. So, and this brings me back to the Ryan Madsen decision last night. Okay, so Ryan Madsen was a guy you brought in the middle of the game to get righties with people on base. He's now walked Steve Pierce two games in a row. So you got to keep doing it because that's the way you do it, even if it doesn't work. Like, I just think at some point you have to look at it and say, the guy we're putting out there sucks right now. He's not there. It's not right. For whatever reason, he's not in a rhythm or he's just gone cold. Whatever it is, it's not working. I have to change it.
So major second guesses for the Dodgers last night. The lineup to begin with, Madsen again instead of Baez for Steve Pierce. Madsen lost that matchup badly the night before. He's not throwing the ball well recently. And instead of going to Baez, who is, they once again stuck with Madsen, and it burned him in that fifth inning. And then there's a whole thing with Yasiel Puig and where he was lined up on J.D. Martinez's game-winning hit. And again, this one blew me away, too. Was he out of position? According to the nerds, he was out of position. Jimmy sent me this tweet, StatCast on Twitter. Said Puig was lined up 319 feet deep on J.D. Martinez's game-winning hit. The average right field versus J.D. Martinez is 302. The average right field in Fenway versus a generic right-handed hitter is 294. So again, you're not going to line up at 294 because J.D. Martinez has more power than that. So he back up around 10 feet, which is why the average spot to play J.D. Martinez is at 302. Puig, who should have been guarding against a single because the go-ahead run was on third, is playing 17 feet back of J.D. Martinez's average and 25 feet deep of what just the generic right-hander averages on a night where the ball's not carrying.
Yeah, that one too, you look at it and you say, what are you thinking
and
there?
And to me, that's not on Puig because I know Puig's an idiot and is not going to line up in the right place, but the coaches have to be there to have him in the right spot. And are you paying attention? Did you see where he was lined up? Is that where you wanted him lined up? Do you want him lined up? Is that a doubles defense? Are you trying to guard against the extra base hit? And I wonder if they were And again, Jimmy, can I just have you cue this up real quick?
See, I'm willing to bet he was in the right place. And that's what their organizational data showed, and they had him at 320 feet.
Dave Roberts, post-game on the Puig positioning on the J.D. Martinez hit.
With the Martinez ball, even if he was in, it's going to drop in. So it's two out, they're running on contact, and you got to still respect J.D.'s power. I thought it was an executed pitch that he just got enough of it to muscle it out to the outfield. So I don't think the outfield depth really played a factor in that.
Okay, two outs running on contact. What does that matter? The lead runs at third. If the ball drops in front of Puig, he's scoring whether he's running on contact or not. That has nothing to do with it unless...
No, you can't let that ball hit the ground.
Unless you're worried about the man at first base. So is he really worried about the extra base hit there? Or is their organizational data 25 feet askew from what the average is?
Again,
there's something not right there.
Yeah, I would tell you again, overthinking it. And the other one that I would add to the list of the mishaps there for the Dodgers at the end of the game is, I think you can second-guess taking Ryu out of that game. To me, I felt like Ryu was dealing. All of a sudden, they load the bases at that time. And remember, at the time, it's still 2-1. Right? Ryu didn't allow a run there yet. They pulled him with two outs in the bases loaded in a 2-1 game.
Yeah.
And then Madsen came in and walked and gave up the hit, and they were three runs that decided the game. Ryu had manhandled Pierce in the early part of that game. He got him out three times, and Pierce looked clueless.
Had to get a right on right.
He got him out two times, three pitches, and he looked clueless.
Had to get a right on right. So that's what fascinates me, those Dodger lineups, and just Robert's decision-making in general. The more you see it and the more you watch it, like, wow, what is going on there? So we'll get your reaction to all of it. I promise we'll wrap up with your calls after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Really is a difference maker.
Woo.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Rick is starting game three. Never know. Like I've been saying all along, we're all in every day. And if we feel that there's a chance to close the door with them, we'll use them. You know, the way it's mapped out is Rick on game three and maybe Nate game four, but Nate might come in the eighth again. And if we have a chance to be up 3-0 with him on the mound and Craig, we'll do it. And then we'll figure out game four. That's the beauty of the playoffs. It's actually fun because, you know, you map out everything over 162 games and you give guys rest and take care of guys. Now it's like pedal to the metal. Whatever happens that day, we'll take it.
The club has been in this kind of situation before throughout the season. You know, you win a few, you drop a few. This just happens to be the World Series. Leaving Boston, what's the mentality and how do you approach the next games, which you obviously have to win?
We do. We got to find a way to win a baseball game. I think coming in here, I thought we played these guys pretty straight up. Obviously, we come out of here going home down 2-0. They made pitches when they needed to. When we stressed them, they made the pitch, and then when it flipped, they got the hit, and we didn't. And that's kind of the difference in tonight's game. But I think as far as ball club talent, you know, you can kind of look at the pitching, the offense. We're not swinging the bats well right now. That's obvious. But I think getting home, seeing their guys in the pen, I think we'll be ready on for game three.
Dave Cora and Dave Roberts setting into game three and four in Los Angeles. See how the Dodgers adjust and Roberts is capable of adjusting. And again, he pounded this thing. The top four home run hitters on the bench games one and game two. Would you stop throwing facts at us, Vinny? And anyone else who wants to tell us that Manny Machado has 37 home runs, the most on the Dodgers?
Vinny Crouch, our TV producer?
Vinny Crouch is our producer at NBC Sports Boston. Only 13 of them came with the Dodgers, Vin. He's not one of their top home run hitters. That's a fact. Fact. So what? We did 2 hours on this now, would you please? It's a good take. It's a fun little angle.
Someone always wants to be the turd in the punch bowl.
Someone always wants to say, well, yeah, but what about? And I don't care how right it is. With a fact, their top four home run hitters were on the bench to begin each game one and game two.
Yeah,
so
would
you stop with this fact business?
Vinny's going to look like a jackass when Rick Porcello starts the next game and Dave Robert puts Machado on the bench. Because that's the way it's going right now.
No, fair point with Machado. But our point still applies, as does everyone's. There is no excuse for having Max Muncy with 35 homers and a 973 OPS and Cody Bellinger, one of the good young players in the game on the bench, the first two games of the World Series. There is no excuse for that.
I don't know, man. Dozier and Kiki Hernandez, they just look locked in and dangerous to me. Those guys are just, they step in the box and I start trembling.
Okay, your thoughts here. We'll wrap them up with your calls. Justin and Melrose, go ahead, Justin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So, runner on, two outs. Have you ever had a doubt that they were going to get the run in? It seems like this team's locked and loaded when there's two down.
It is absolutely insane. But Jimmy Stewart gave us some numbers. Like you would think that they're the greatest in this situation in all time when they're like, Jimmy, I may not have copied it down right, but or I may have left it out. But I think like in two-out hits or two-out RBIs, they're like 10th all time. They're not like – they don't yet have as many even – they don't even have as many two-out RBIs as they did in 2004.
The Red Sox have 34 two-out RBIs this postseason, which is 10th most by any team in a single postseason. The record is 45 by the 04 Red Sox team, and the 2007 Red Sox had 34.
Okay, so good. I mean, it's a lot. It's up there. It's top 10, but it's not the most ever. And that just leads me to believe that, and what I think is, I think you'll find most good teams hit well with two outs. I bet you most good hitting teams hit well with two strikes. I bet you most good teams that get to this level are good in close and late games, good in two-out RBIs, good in two-strike hitting. I mean, doesn't that just seem to reason? I mean, that's how you win games, and that means you're a good hitting team when you bear down in those situations.
Sure, it does, except that I think that there's an efficiency stat with the Red Sox in two outs that Alex Speer had today in the Globe, and this is the one to me that blows me away. Okay, right now the Red Sox have the highest batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage with runners in scoring position and two outs in postseason history.
Okay, so there's one where they are number one.
Okay, so again, what Jimmy's saying is, you know, that when we do it a volume stat in terms of the number of hits, you say, well, how many chances have they had?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the efficiency of it, again, highest batting average, highest on-base, and highest slugging percentage in history with two outs and runners in scoring position.
But I bet you'll find, again, going back to Jimmy's stats, that the 04 and the 07 team are up there too.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
I bet you'll find most good teams are good in those areas. I think what you're seeing now is through the roof. I mean, it's obviously next level. Paul in New Hampshire on Dave Roberts. Hi, Paul.
Tony, you took the words right out of my mouth with the Manny Machado take. I was wondering if he was going to actually bench him against Porcello. Dave Roberts is the biggest boob I've ever seen manage a game. He's like the Bill O'Brien of Major League Baseball. I can't wrap my head around it. Is this guy even going to have a job next year when the season starts?
I mean, he's not a bad manager. I just think he represents a lot of the bad trends in the game. Matchup-driven, over-analytical, too stuck in what the binder says versus what your eyes are saying. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, but if you're one of the players on that team and you see that, and you see all that production on the bench, there has to be someone pissed off or, you know, borderline mutiny about to happen, especially if they go down 0-3 in this series tomorrow night.
Oh, I'd be willing to bet there were lots of guys pissed off, starting with the guys who aren't getting the at-bats. And I bet you it runs even deeper than that. Look, I just want it on record that I've never liked Roberts as a manager. I've never liked him as a manager. I think he overmanages the game. I've said that since day one with this guy. He the managers who overmanage the game think it's about them and not about the players. To a fault. And look, they all overmanage now. Okay, but the level that this guy goes to is like unprecedented.
Just let me say, you know, you're not immune. Core's not immune to some of this stuff too. And to me, the shining example of this is your three hitter, who's Steve Pierce. On no planet is Steve Pierce your third best hitter. He should be nowhere near the three hole unless there's a lefty on the mound and you want to get a righty towards the top of your lineup. But there were a couple times last night where the Sox had runners on and here comes Steve Pierce, and I'm like, this should be J.D. Martinez. Wouldn't you feel better if this were J.D. Martinez? Now, it worked out for him, mostly because Madsen absolutely dumped himself and walked Pierce on five pitches to get to J.D. Martinez. But the Sox are doing it too. Pierce is your three hitter against a lefty, and he's on the bench against a righty.
Yeah, they're going way too far with Pierce. Pierce should really be the five hitter. It should be J.D. Martinez, Bogarts, and then Pierce.
We've had this question a couple times. Jim in Framingham, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, so how can you back to something else you were talking about a while ago about potential MVPs through two games? And I know that's not a lot of data points, but I'd like to throw Andrew Benintendi's hat into the ring, if you would.
Okay, let me stop you. It's a good one.
Yeah, Benintendi is a good one. He had a four-hit game in the first one. You know, and then obviously made a good catch in the second one. So he's a good one. You know, the relievers are obvious. Kelly, if he wanted to lean there. It's hard to pick a guy who pitches one inning in each game, though, you know. The other one I would consider, like, still early. I think Devers has had a good series. I don't know if he's been as good as Benintendi, but he's had a good series. And so, but this is sort of what this Red Sox team has been in the postseason too, right? It's hard to identify one guy. I mean, Bradley was easier in the LCS, but he only had three hits. Like, and they're getting a ton of production out of role players. And, you know, Martinez now came through with a big hit last night, but the role guys on this team really have had phenomenal postseasons.
Sean and Lowell on the Dodgers lineup. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
All right. So what I was wanting to say was I do agree with you, Felger, on the Eovaldi idea, because if they pitch Eovaldi game three and they win game three, then you got to go Erod and Sale, because if that's what Robert's going to do, we got to take advantage of it. And one quick thing, Maz, when you were talking about besides Martinez's ankle, no matter what, do you want to put Martinez in right field, and are we keeping Benintendi or Bradley, or are we switching that idea?
Okay, so let's say Martinez was at full health. Let's say Martinez is playing. What's your lineup tomorrow night?
So I would put Martinez in left. I like him there better, and then I would play Benintendi in center. I think, honestly, at the beginning of the series, I'd have put Bradley out there because I like Bradley in center field in L.A., but there was a report yesterday that the Red Sox are leaning the other way, and that Bradley's going to sit. But it sounds like what they're going to do is move Betts to center and put Martinez in right. So maybe Martinez gets some sort of comfort thing in right field. Like, he played out there last year when Arizona went in there. He had we've talked about it, a four-homer game out there. He was playing right field that night, and I'm not saying the two are necessarily connected. I think he can play either corner spot. Left field makes more sense to me for two reasons. One, it's a shorter throw, and, you know, to third base. And two, the Dodgers are going to have all those left-handed batters in the lineup. So right field's, in theory, going to be a more active field. I'd rather have Mookie Betts out there.
Murray, is this series over?
Yeah.
Maz, is this series over?
No.
Here's a prediction for you. Brian and Pembroke, what's your prediction?
Dodgers in seven. Price craps his pants in game seven, and Corey gets it right again because he's his number two starter.
And what's the last thing he said?
Said Corey gets it right again because he's his number two starter.
I don't even get what that means.
Because he's number two.
Number two.
That's a poop joke.
So there was a joke.
No jokes.
We don't do jokes for that very reason.
So, look, I don't think the series is over. They're in a commanding position, obviously, already. But the Dodgers are going to have their best lineup on the field in game three. I think it's a horrible matchup for Porcello. I do. I think it's awful. And he'll probably go out and pitch a gem now, but who the hell knows? I like the Dodgers in game three. And then, you know, Kershaw in game five at home, like, I think you're coming back here. And then all of a sudden you're going to have Price in game six. And I'm good with where Price is right now, but would it really surprise you if he reverted?
Yes, at this point, yep.
Yeah.
Not me.
It would surprise me if the Red Sox blow this, yes. And that,
you live in a dark place, man.
Yeah, maybe I do. I always fear the worst. You're never disappointed that way, Murray. You do. You prepare for the worst. You think the worst is going to happen, and when it doesn't, you're actually reasonably happy.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services.
Nobody
beats Town Fair
Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
Two pieces of sound in the final word today. We'll start with Maz rattling off the velocity of the Red Sox bullpen, of course.
Folks.
Yeah, with baseball comes numbers, but Maz gives you a lot.
No. Take an aspirin before you listen to this, folks.
Go ahead, Jim.
I went back and counted 19 fastballs. 19. You know what the velocities were? In order. 98.3, 98.1, 99.9, 97.9, 98.8, 99 flat, 99 flat, 100.3, 99.9, 99.6, 99.9, 100.2, 99.7, 96.9, 97.1, 96.7, 97.4, 96.1, 97.2. Average velocity, 98.5, the Sports Hub miles per hour. 98.5 average miles per hour in the last three innings. Thank you. Go back to the dugout. Have a nice night. See you in L.A. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I loved that. Oh, my God, did I love that. 19 fastballs, the slowest. One was under 97. One. That was like textbook October pitching that game. It was awesome.
It's an assault of pitches in the 90s, man. It was very good.
So where were they throwing again? I think they were in the high 90s.
What was the seventh pitch again? Will you go back and tell me what the seventh pitch
was? I got that one at 98.3. I think it is.
98.3,
98.1, 99.9, 97.9, 98.8, 99 flat.
Correct answer is 98 flat.
And of course,
I was very excited about that, yes.
With the
98.3, 98.1, 99.9, 97.9, 98.8, 99 flat, 99 flat, 100.3, 99.9, 99.6, 99.9, 100.2, 99.7, 96.9, 97.1, 96.7, 97.4, 96.1, 97.2. Average velocity. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Should be our new promo.
Yeah, trying to find us?
Yeah.
96.9? No, you're not going to get it there. No. 101.3? No. 103? No.
98.3. 98.1.
So, of course, with the continued success of one, David Price means I've been hearing it a lot, certainly, on social media, but also hearing it from Rick and Peabody, who called the show today.
98.
Rick and Peabody has something from Murray. Go ahead, Rick.
Murray, I got one quick question, quick statement. You've been giving David Price crap all year. Why don't you tell us in your best David Price impression how his ass tastes?
It's quite flavorful. And suck it, all you haters, including you, Murray. You couldn't have been more wrong. Except for last week when you said I was going to go out there and be nails, and I was.
I was hard on him all year for years, plural, up until last week when I said he'd win Game 5 and be dominant in it, and he was. And he won again last night because it's the Bizarro Red Sox.
I was hoping you were going to say, Murray, it doesn't make my food taste any better, but it makes Murray's ass taste pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we are stupid.
David Price. Wow. David Price and Joe Kelly right in front of us. Turn it into freaking Warren Spahn and Pedro Martinez. It's unbelievable.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.